Welcome to Sacred Magic. Violet is on a quest to bring sacredness back into our everyday experiences. Anyone can have an extraordinary life when they are able to tap into the sacred magic within. Violet and her guests will be sharing their divine passions, inspirations, and stories of connecting with their sacred magic. We are so happy you have joined us today. Let's get started with your host, the magical creator of Discover Your Spiritual Gifts, Violet Rain.
Hi everyone, welcome to Sacred Magic. I'm so excited today. I'm your host, Violet Rain, and my guest today is Joy Vernon. She is an astrologer, tarot reader in Burien, Washington. She formerly served as the organizer of the Denver Tarot Meet and Denver Tarot Geeks and now runs the Great Seattle Tarot Meetup. Joy brings expertise and practice familiarity to her specialty of esoteric tarot, which layers astrology and Kabbalistic symbolism onto the traditional images. So it's so exciting to have you here. I went to her meetup once, and it wasn't hers, but it was at the Denver meetup. I went once to check it out and had so much fun doing it. I took my husband, who's a rocket scientist that doesn't believe in anything, and I forget who was the facilitator that day, but I know Cynthia Wommel and Sherry was there, and so we got to connect with them. And they had us doing like this vision board or something. And out of everyone in the room, they picked him to share his insights on his board. And he goes, it's a star and it's a planet. And we were all like, oh no.
Oh my gosh. Where was the meeting held? Was that when we were at the Living Earth location out on Evans?
No, it was down Parker, like Wade. It was close to the Science Museum and down there. It was in a office building, like on the second or third floor. It was kind of away. So it's been a long time. It was probably 7-8 years ago when we did that.
Oh my gosh.
And we dragged him with us because, you know, he doesn't like to be left behind. And so he wanted to go see what it was all about. And that was the first time I met Sherry and Cynthia. And I thought they were so funny and so cool. And now Cynthia is a reader at my center. So,
oh, right. I saw that online. That's so cool.
It's funny how our lives just intersect in so many ways. But I never got an opportunity, I don't think, to ever meet you except in the distance, seeing kind of what you were doing and what was going on. So I'm excited to have you on here today.
Yeah, ditto. I always knew all about you and never met you either. So exactly. I'm excited about this too.
You know, the universe has great timing and we just kind of trust. But I have some great questions because I love people that work with tarot, and there are lots of tarot readers out there that do this, but some people go really deep into the symbolism and the understanding, which I know that you do, so I'm excited to have you here today. But tell me, have you always played with tarot? Did something bring you to want to be interested in tarot? Like, did you come out of the womb reading cards? What happened here, Joy?
No, I haven't always read tarot. A friend, my sister in high school had a friend who read tarot, but I never got a reading. My sister would come home and tell me about the readings she got, but you know, and I would just always kind of listen and nod. She would be like, did you know that the hangman doesn't mean death? And I'd be like, and then later, after I had graduated from college, my sister was actually still in college. And that's when I moved to Colorado and we became roommates. At that time, I had nowhere to go and nothing to do. And I was like, my sister's looking for a roommate. I guess I go to Colorado. And that's when I met my tarot teacher. And the first time I ever saw a reading, and this is a naughty little tale on my sister that I don't think she knows yet that I ever tell. But we had connected with this teacher, and he was doing a reading for my sister to demonstrate, because I'd never seen a reading done before. And he put down a card to represent her significator in the Celtic Cross tarot spread. And then he put another card on top of it, and it was the Knight of Wands galloping full force ahead with his sword up in the air. And I was like, I have a degree in English literature and I love symbolism and I know exactly what this means. I'm like, oh, she had asked about, should she meet up with this old friend of hers from high school? I was like, oh, you are so getting laid. Those are the first words out of my mouth. And hopefully this isn't too inappropriate. We can make up something else. I should make up a variation in that story. I won't say anymore. But ever since I've been reading tarot.
I love that.
It was
love
like
that.
1991 or yeah. Yeah, about 1991, I think.
Well, you know, I see so many people, Joy, that kind of read tarot and go off their intuition. But I love those readers that are really into the symbolism, the alchemy, the Kabbalah that's in there, the history, all the stuff that tarot brings to it. So I love those folks that dive really deep into understanding tarot. So talk to me a little bit about it sounds like your English literature and symbolism has really helped with tarot as well.
Yeah, and I also took a lot of theater classes in when I was working on the English degree. The school I went to at the time did not have a theater program. I later went to another school to get more training in theater. And so both the degrees, I got two bachelor's degrees, because a bachelor's in English won't get you a job. Certainly a bachelor's degree in theater will help. So, and therefore I am a tarot reader by profession. So yeah, both the English literature and the symbolism helped, and the theater helped considerably. The professor at my first school really had us focus on stage images, and he would have us recollect a particular image from a show and how things were arranged. And some of our, in the directing class that he taught, that was our very first exercise as well, was to arrange a still scene that told a story. And so that idea of being able to recognize symbols, to know how a story can unfold from a still shot, is really something that I was taught in college and has served me ever since.
I think that's awesome, because what a way to put that, because I teach tarot too, and I love to work with tarot, but I'll have students that when you put down three cards, they don't know how to tell the story. They can look at the individual card and they understand the meaning, but they don't know how to put the three together to kind of tell the story, right? And yeah. I think you really have to step back and look at the whole picture. And I think that's a gift, a skill that we learn on how to do that.
Yeah.
Have you found that in teaching people as well?
I have, and I've developed some really cool exercises for it. Although, unfortunately, my best exercise has to be done in person in a group. And so I haven't been able to do it since I left Denver. I suppose now I probably could start trying to get some in-person classes together. But at this point, it's so much easier to do everything online and have a bigger pool of people to pull from. But one of my best easy techniques, though, to get people started is, you know, it's pretty typical nowadays. This did not used to be true. This is more of a innovation within the last 30 years or so. Most teachers will really encourage people to pull a card every day, just kind of like, what's my day going to be like or something. And I was not taught that originally. I never actually did the practice because by the time I started hearing about it, it just didn't appeal. And what I encourage people to do instead is at the end of the day, or if you're doing it in the morning, about the day before, pull three cards intentionally, like look at the pictures on the deck, spread it out face up, and look for cards that look like what happened during your day. And if you can do that and just pull three cards to just describe one thing that happened, to describe two or three things that happened, to describe the flow of your day, you're learning the cards in an entirely different way, and you are familiarizing yourself with the images on the cards, and you are learning to tell that story from the very beginning, from day one, from the time you first opened that tarot deck. And furthermore, you come to be able to apply tarot images to your real life everyday experience. And that's the key to being able to read the cards.
I love that. I love that because I tell my students, if you can connect with the cards of your deck and have memories or experiences that you can relate to those cards, when you sit down and do a reading for somebody, it is so much easier to go, oh, yeah, this is what, and you can have multiple experiences for each card so that you get triggered of, oh, this one's about this memory or this experience. This one's about this memory and this experience. It really does kind of help you kind of bring that in and you learn it a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. That's perfect what you're doing. That is a perfect way to teach because being able to take this abstract image, these abstract images, allegorical images, and being able to recognize them as human experiences. That's all the entirety of the process of reading tarot is about.
It is. It's about our journey. It's about different points in our journey and how we go through our spiritual evolution and our journey through the cards. So they really do kind of teach us that. And so you also work with astrology. How do you see astrology in these cards? Because do you connect astrology to tarot as well?
Absolutely. And I found that the court cards really came to life for me the best after I started just reading them as the astrological energies. And they really started to pop and make the most sense. And because working with the King, Queen, Knight, those 12, three cards out of the four suits, those match to the 12 astrological signs. The pages are a little different. And so that made a huge difference. But I also use the astrological associations for all the cards for timing questions. And that gives me really good, clear results. And that there's actually a handout on my website. I can give you the link to that later if you want to share that with people that lists those dates, the timing for all 78 cards. So I can share that with you.
I would love that.
But yeah, and then when I do a half and half reading that's half astrology and half tarot. And we always start with the astrology. And once we only spend 45 minutes on it, so it's not like a full astrology reading or anything. But once we get the basics and get some important qualities down, then we go to tarot. The cards that come up immediately tell me what about the astrological chart I didn't talk about yet and what things important that I had glossed over or expands on it or say you really didn't look at this transit long enough that was important. It is astonishing how clearly that comes out almost every time. So it's so those are a lot of the ways that I use astrology with tarot. There's more, but those are the big ones.
Well, you dive so deep. I mean, we could talk forever on cards and, you know, techniques because you've been doing this for so long. I mean, you started the Denver Tarot Group and the meetup group here, which is pretty good size for you guys that are listening. They're outside of Denver. It's a pretty good size group, or it used to be. I don't know about today.
No, it's gotten even bigger in terms of membership, which is great. Although there are still a lot of differences post COVID, because Denver Tarot Meetup is still they went online for as short a period of time as possible and went back to in person as soon as they could. But I didn't start the Denver Tarot Meetup. Scott Womack did in 2006. I started the Denver Tarot Geeks in 2007 after having been a member of Scott's group for a year. And in 2011 is when I took over the Denver Tarot Meetup from him. And he had shared it with some other organizers in the interim. But so I just want to do a shout out for him. But yeah, it's an amazing, I think tarot meetups are an amazing resource because usually for free to $10, $12, $15, you can usually attend a meetup often with a speaker of an extremely high caliber that would normally charge $30, $40, $50 for a class. And you can go in and hear them and learn from them. And with some of the meetups that are more casually oriented, a lot of times you can go in and practice readings with other people. And so, which is, again, a huge skill. And where do you find that prior to the invention of Meetup? That was really hard to find that. And so, yeah, I am just an enormous proponent of Meetup.
Just love Meetup. I'm on Meetup too. So I totally understand all of that. You know, one of the things that you also keep up with is astrology, what's happening with the planets today. So what's going on right now and today up in all the stars and planets that could be affecting us?
Well, the main thing are the eclipses, because we just had an eclipse in Libra yesterday, the full moon in Libra, that eclipse. I've got to admit, I still get nervous when talking about eclipses that I get my full moons and new moons confused. But at any rate, we've got an eclipse yesterday. We've got that really big solar eclipse coming up on April 8th. The eclipse yesterday is contrasted with the one that's in October. And so it's eclipse season, and eclipses traditionally are about the overthrow of a leader, because the solar eclipse at the very least is the moon, which in a mundane chart represents the people coming and occluding the sun, which represents the leader or the king. And so the idea of an overthrow is a really strong kind of intimation of what's going on when we see these eclipses. And so in terms of how to apply it personally, it's a lot of times the two parts of you, the solar part of you, which is your more conscious, external, outward directed part of you, and your lunar self, which is your inward, intuitive, emotional, private self, those two are fighting with each other. They're at odds with each other. And if the eclipses are hitting you, if you've got anything in cardinal signs, primarily, then there will probably be a degree to which these two parts of you are striving for a different type of balance, possibly a different type of dominance in terms of which part moves to the front or gains power.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. You know, a lot of people, I'll be honest, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the moon cycles and retrograde and eclipses, but people all around me really do notice the moon cycles. And maybe I'm just not paying attention, but they really do notice how all that affects them, which makes sense. It's energy and we're energy. So those changes would be really important for us to understand and how they come in. And I'm not a deep astrology learner either. I've had a few people do readings for me and I leave more confused than when I came in. It's and I know there are tons and tons of different ways to read astrology and do all that. I just know that my chart, everything's on one side. Everything's in one side of the houses. And so when people look at it, they're like, whoa. I'm like, I don't know if that's a good thing, a bad thing, or an indifferent thing, but okay.
I'll have to look at your chart sometime, Violet.
But I love people that are able to do that. I think it's amazing because it's not my area of expertise, but I know a lot of people that follow their astrology chart and it really does line up with what's happening in their life. And when they hit something like a bump or an obstacle, they call up their astrologer and go, okay, what's going on in my house? What do I need to know to kind of move through? So those that are listening, if that's something that resonates with you, definitely look at that, because a lot of people really do follow that, which I think is really, really amazing that they can do that. So thank you for sharing with us. And the energies absolutely have been really crazy for several years now. I'm hoping, I keep saying, someday it's going to calm down. I'm still holding that space. You know, COVID, I think, threw all of us for such a loop that we're still trying to navigate some of the changes and energies that came in, right? You know, you talked about going online versus in person. And I know for us, we did in-person classes almost immediately. And we were the only ones in Denver still gathering people in person. And I'm sure a lot of people were like, we wore masks and taught. It was a really interesting concept. We even bought speakers so that we could do mics so you could hear us under the mask. I mean,
oh, wow. That was smart.
We did all kinds of things to keep in-person classes going, which there wasn't a whole lot happening. So, So I get things have really shifted in how we do things. And, you know, before that, I would have told you I would never do online anything. And I am. So, I mean, I think the universe went, yes, you will. Right now. Do it right now.
Exactly.
You gotta pivot. Pivot quick. All right. So somebody wanting to learn tarot, like really interested in, you know, learning tarot. We've talked about joining the meetup group is pretty awesome. What are some other tips that you tell people that are really just fascinated in learning tarot? And how do you select a deck that you know, the right deck? Because I know that can always be a challenge as well.
I have really particular and really particular guidelines for what I recommend. And all of these things, if you go to, I have a blog on my website. So joyvernon.com/blog, I think is what it is. And there are so many resources there. And I've got a whole, there's a category, which is like beginner tarot or learning tarot, how to learn tarot. There's some category that you can click on the category and it'll bring up just tons of posts to help you exactly with all of these things. my recommendations for choosing a deck, one, I do not recommend the Rider-Waite-Smith deck to start. And that's kind of the shock that everybody goes through when they hear that, because it's the deck. If you walk into any metaphysical shop anywhere in the world and ask for a beginner tarot deck, that's what they're going to hand you. But my experience is that that deck is so iconic that it turns into an exercise of what is it supposed to mean? And there's so many books written about that deck. And so there's an authority in it that I don't think is useful to somebody that's trying to learn. And so instead, what I recommend is that you use any fully illustrated or scenic deck that has the stories on all the card images, not just the pips, which are the suit icons, like, you know, it won't have six wands. It might have, you know, a scene that shows maybe somebody looking like they've achieved something or looking victorious, typically riding a horse through a crowd of people that are holding wands up. But it could be anything that looks kind of victorious. And it doesn't have to be that. And that's the other thing, is that I don't believe a deck needs to follow the Rider-Waite-Smith symbolism. I think it's totally fine if it's something totally different. There's, I'm trying to think of a really good example. I'm not clear enough to remember that. So I thought I had one. I'm like, is that the four or six? I'm not sure. Anyway. So it does have to have those scenic stories on all the cards. And that's what, because that's how you read the cards. If you don't have the scenic stories, then you have to go into either using psychic methods for reading or memorize meanings, which is the most worthless exercise, or have to learn your esoteric symbolism and apply that to the pip cards. So getting those scenic images is the most important thing. Find something that you like. You should love all the cards. They should all be beautiful to you. The people should really resonate with you, that you should feel like the people are friends, or that you would want to be them or hang out with them. And it's okay if not all of them are like that, but for the most part, you should feel like it feels like your crowd. The another thing that I require that is a little bit less imperative is that I require that those suit icons, the wands, cups, swords, pentacles, that they're actually incorporated into the artwork. It gets annoying, I understand, to an artist by the time you get up to 8, 9, 10 to draw that many swords or whatever into the artwork. And so a lot of times they'll just say down in the corner somewhere, you know, 8 swords, or they will hang the swords or something up above the scene. But the more those icons are incorporated into the scene, the more you have to play with in terms of the numerology and some other things, which is something I teach very specifically, but very few people talk about it. So I think those are kind of my main rules. You should enjoy it. It should be fun. It should, the cards and images should speak to you and tell stories to you. And you should just get pleasure out of looking at the cards and playing with them, because that's what's going to keep you, that's what's going to get you hooked. It's what's going to keep you going. It's going to what will eventually cause you to want to learn more and actually study. Tarot should be about playing from the beginning, and the desire to go deeper with it should be a natural outgrowth of the playfulness of your experience with them.
I love that. I love that. I just recently got a new deck, the Wisdom of Pooh Tarot. So I've been having fun playing with, it was a Kickstarter deck that I think I've been waiting for almost a year to get it. You know, all the challenges of getting them printed and distributed and all that. And I know there are still people out there that still haven't gotten their decks yet, but I was so excited to get mine in the mail. So I've been playing a little bit with it. And I think you're right. If you can resonate and you love it, see the story, that's going to make the biggest difference in kind of leaning in and learning tarot and getting more confident with it. So I absolutely love that. I love that you came on here and shared today. Talk to us a little bit, because I know you're doing stuff online. What kind of things are you offering online that people can connect with you on?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a whole series of beginner classes coming up over the summer and into the fall. I've got my beginning tarot. I divided into two sections. So there's exploring the tarot and tarot basics. And one uses the moon card and one uses the sun card. And the moon card one is a lot more of my intuitive techniques and my playful techniques. And then the one with the sun card is a lot more of my logical techniques. And okay, here's the breakdown of how it works. And so I encourage people to take both of those and start whichever direction makes the most sense for them. But both of those are coming up as weeknight online classes. I've got a beginning Kabbalah class, a beginning astrology class. And I mean, I have my meetup and there's even some really super basic beginner. There's a super, super basic beginner tarot class that's just like a download type of thing, and a tarot meditations one as well. There's a lot of things going on.
I
on
love
my
that.
And that you can find all that at joyvernon.com/classes.
Awesome. I can't wait to check it out. I hope you'll check it out too. And Joy, if you're ever back in Denver visiting, I would love to meet you in person. And if you want, come back on our show again. We could talk forever on lots of different topics. We could just go and go. So I love being able to chat with you. I'm so happy that we were able to connect today.
Oh, me too. I'm super excited. I'm really stoked to finally meet you and to talk with you. And yeah, I want to keep going because I'm interested in all the places that we can go together and talks.
Yeah, we can talk about Kabbalah. We didn't really even touch a lot on that or astrology. I mean, we could go really deep in lots of things. So definitely come back. And we'll touch on some of those topics as well for people that are interested. Thank you for watching today, Sacred Magic. I hope you'll follow and comment on all of our channels. We're on YouTube and most of the podcast channels. So we love our followers that stay connected. Thanks for listening. And we hope to see you really soon. Have a magical and sacred week.
Thank you for joining us. To find out more about Violet, head over to discoveryourspiritualgifts.com. You can also send a personal message to Violet through email, violet@discoveryourspiritualgifts.com. If you love this show, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Until next time, remember, we are all meant to have abundant and joyful lives. We hope to see you soon at Discover Your Spiritual Gifts.